it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, the Orioles in Chicago tonight as they try to end a four-game losing streak in which they've been outscored 44-9. But it's a brand-new day, brand-new night, brand-new opponent, a brand-new ballpark, brand-new city, tonight against the last place Chicago White Sox. See if the Orioles tonight can do a little better pitching. The manager, Buck Showalter, right after this.
Well, now Chicago opened a four-game set against the White Sox, and we are with the skipper, Buck Showalter. This is the manager's report. And, Buck, before I ask you about Manny Machado, just one question about the Yankees. Are they that good, or maybe just a good club that got on a roll out there?
Were you going to say, are we that bad?
No.
I appreciate that. No, it was a combination. You know, they're very good. You know, especially when you get some young players with playing with a lot of energy and, you know, things are kind of new to them, and it's a real good vibe around them, and they're pitching well and hitting well and defending well, and we're not pitching well, and that's a bad combination. So, you know, you end up where we were there.
All right. Now in Chicago, and it's nice to be able to go into a four-game series and to be able to compete with Manny Machado back in that lineup.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, Manny, certainly a big cog of our team, and we missed him, but I'm hoping the little layoff may have kind of freshened him up some. But, you know, we did some things yesterday, and he responded well to that today and went out and took batting practice and fielding, and, you know, he's ready to go.
Nobody is 100%. How close is Manny to 100% right now?
Well, as I've said many times, you know, he's as close as he's going to get. And, you know, I think the big thing, Joe, is just, you know, he's had some inactivity and just kind of getting his feet back on the ground and getting back into the mode of playing. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to play. So if I know Manny, he'll answer the challenge and you know, become that contributor that he's capable of being again. And if it doesn't happen the first at bat or the second at bat or this game, you know, somewhere down the line, it will.
Again, with skipper Buck Showalter, as we continue with the manager's report, what did you think about Jakob Bonus' major league debut yesterday?
Well, you knew that, you know, he's going to have some emotion there, and that's how he is. That's how he pitches. He was pitching well down there. We knew that command might be a little issue for him, but you know, you see the things that people like about him, and you see the things that he's going to have to overcome to be able to stick here. But he's a good young pitcher that's having a good year in AAA, and, you know, he got his feet on the ground. I think you'll see him a little better in his next outing.
Let me ask you this. He was kind of pumped up. I think it was obvious by the way he warmed up before he threw his first pitch. He struck out his first batter. Now, is it easy, or is there a tendency maybe for a young guy making his major league debut to have that first strikeout right away and then maybe try and throw a little bit harder?
Who knows, Joe, what beats in the hearts of men? I wish we were all that knowledgeable, but every player's different and everything. You know, the bottom line is the hitters are real good, and if you make the mistakes that we made in New York, you're going to pay a price for it. And in the major leagues, they leave the ballpark. So it was a good learning experience for him. Somewhere along the line, you know, the good ones figure out kind of what's going on, know that more is not always better. It's all about locating a fastball, and that's been our biggest challenge, is being consistent with that with all our pitchers.
Hey, what are your thoughts on the Chicago White Sox?
A good young club. They've got two or three guys hitting over 300 very quietly. The right fielder's having a great year. One of the better first basemen all around with Abreu, and all of the Garcias have been making contributions, one of the top good, solid young shortstops playing for them. And it's a good club, good pitching for the most part. And, you know, it's a major league club. They're capable of really making you look bad if you're not on top of your game.
You mentioned pitching. Mike Pelfrey is like a 169 ERA his last four starts. What's he doing well?
Well, he's commanding the fastball. And, you know, when you can get back into counts with a quality located fastball, you can have a lot of success, which opens up the whole plate to you. You know, most guys, when they get into a good role, you can start with the command of the fastball.
All right, Buck, thank you, and good luck in the Windy City.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Steve Stone. At times, he made it look easy. Former Cy Young winner, Steve Stone and Jim Hunter, when we continue with our warm-up show right after this.
And from Chicago, and of course, it is all about the pitching. We'll talk pitching with the Orioles Cy Young Award winner from 1980, Steve Stone, after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
The Orioles continue their road trip tonight, first of four in Chicago, and a pleasure to visit with former Oriole Steve Stone, who, by the way, folks, is the last Oriole to win the Cy Young Award. That was back in 1980, 25-7 that year. Now, when you win a Cy Young and you win 25 games, I got to believe it was one of those seasons where everything fell in place for you.
Well, that's exactly what happened. In fact, it wasn't until the last game that I pitched that the bullpen finally gave up a lead. So they blew one save all year. It was the last game. Would have been my 26th win. But when the bullpen comes through each and every time, and pretty much you have the kind of ball club that if you gave up four, they scored five at least. If I gave up three, well, then they scored four. I mean, that was the kind of year it was. The team was just outstanding. We won 100 games in 1980 after winning 102 in 1979. So it was a team that knew how to win. And, yes, I threw the ball well, as you have to throw it to have that kind of a year. But it was a ball club behind me that was so important because they were just a team that knew how to win and consistently did that.
And who knew that your season in 1980 would end the golden age of starting pitching for the Orioles, if you will, meaning awards-wise? In a 12-year stretch, 1969 to 1980, six Cy Young Awards. Cuellar won one, Flanagan won one, you won one, and Palmer, he hogged them, he won three. It's so difficult to win the Cy Young Award because of all the talent out there that you're matched up against.
Well, you have to have a lot of different things going for you. Number one, unless you're Steve Carlton in 1972, where you can win 27 games, your team won 59. That was probably the most remarkable year I've ever seen, 27-10 for a terrible baseball team. But normally, when a guy has a great year, the team is awfully good behind him, and you can't have those kind of years without having that kind of performance. So I have no idea why the Orioles have not won another Cy Young Award through all of those years. They had some very good pitchers, obviously winning the World Series in 83. Mike Boddicker was a guy that filled my spot in the rotation. He was very good, but it's just one of those things. I assume that somewhere along the line, not too distant future, it's going to happen again, except the one big difference is Memorial Stadium was very much a pitcher's park, and right now Camden Yards is not exactly a pitcher's park. In fact, it's a very, very good hitter's ballpark.
We see hitters, Steve, over the course of a year go into slumps. Even fielders can go into slumps for whatever reason. And it looks like right now the Orioles starters are slumping collectively. Eight consecutive starts without a win. They're 0-6 with a couple of no decisions. How do starting staffs navigate their way out of a funk?
A staff can't, because it's made up of individuals. And individuals don't care about a team slump. They don't care about a pitching slump as far as the rotation is concerned, because they're not the rotation. They are a member of the rotation. So instead of worrying about what the other pitchers are doing, you have to take care of your own business. And if you do that, things work out pretty well. So for Miley tonight, he's got to go out there. He doesn't care that it's been eight starts that haven't been good. He doesn't care the rotation hasn't been good. He doesn't care if the team's not scoring or not playing defense. He just has to go out there and make pitch number one to the leadoff hitter. And if you make a good pitch to whoever's leading off, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape. Then you string together a number of good pitches and you have a good performance. So it all comes down to the individual, and that's one of the things that have to be impressed upon them, is that forget about collective slumps. They don't really matter very much. What matters is you go out each and every day to do your job. If you do that, eventually everything turns around, and this is a cyclical game. We play 162 because there are no miracles in 162. You have your hot streaks, your cold streaks. You have a lot of mediocre performances, but you also have some great performances all mixed into one. The wonderful performers, the guy that has great years, put what happened yesterday behind them. Don't worry about what's going to happen in 2 days, because all you have is today. All you have is the next pitch. If you break a difficult endeavor down to its simplest parts, in the case of a pitcher, it's going pitch by pitch. You don't have the next pitch. You don't have the last pitch. All you have is the pitch you're ready to make. And if you do the proper things, both mentally and physically, to get to the point where you can execute that pitch, there's no reason why you can't string together a group of, let's say, 110 really good pitches and take them individually. And if you do that, if you can break a tough goal down to its simplest parts, you wind up being that much better. If you can't do that, then you wind up selling shoes or cars or going to another profession.
You know, it seems to me that the way you describe that is, as a starter, if you're self-centered, that's good, because it's all about you. You have the ball, so whatever you do with it, that determines the outcome of the game.
It first depends on a team culture, because when I got to Baltimore the first time, I was told in no uncertain terms very soon upon my arrival there that this was going to be a different team than I had ever been on before. because at the time I was told by a number of different players, not just one, not just the team spokesman, but just a bunch of different guys saying, we know where you came from. You guys gave the game away in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, and that was the White Sox in the mid-70s. I said, but here in Baltimore, we take the game away in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning because this is a collection of guys who are professional winners, all brought in to do one thing, and that's to win. And to a man, they felt the same way. They were trying to indoctrinate whoever came to their organization. Tell them what it was like to be a Baltimore Oriole and what was expected of you. And I thought, being on also-ran teams a lot of my career, I thought what was best for me, by definition, would be best for the team. That was not the case. Earl Weaver and a number of players explained to me that what was best for the Orioles, by definition, was best for me. So I became just a piece of the whole, a very important piece on the day that I pitched, because I didn't believe in a fifth starter, a fourth starter. You are the number one starter on the day that you pitch. They give you the baseball to go out and do a job. You have to do it. But again, don't look at the big plan. Don't look at the big goal. You break it down to its simplest parts. If you do that, if you understand it, you can perform a whole lot better. And when you get 25 guys thinking the same way, then you've got yourself what everybody looks for, which is a winning team. It will happen. You got a wonderful manager in Buck Showalter. You guys have a lot of talent on this team. I know that there's a team slump at this point. I know you face a team that outscored you 38-8. The Yankees have bombers on that team, but the Yankees weren't supposed to be there this year. They're starting to believe that they belong there, and because of that, they're going to be awfully tough to beat. It's team belief. It's something that will come or should come to the Orioles. Hopefully, you guys hope that it's sooner rather than later. I hope that it's after you leave town, and then we don't see you anymore the rest of the year, and then I wish you a great deal of luck. But I came into a situation where everybody viewed themselves as a winner, and they viewed themselves coming to a winning organization. It happened once in Baltimore. It happened during that stretch of 25 years where that team was very difficult to beat each and every year. It can happen again. But for you guys and for Buck Showalter, he's got to explain to the guys that it's got to happen today. Yesterday doesn't matter. You don't have the Yankee series anymore. You don't have the next series after you play us. You got the four games in Chicago. You take care of business here, then you head on to the next place and take care of business there. That is a winning philosophy, and that's something that a team has to grow into. And right now it doesn't appear that the Orioles are quite there yet.
Well, tremendous insight from the 1980 Cy Young Award winner, Steve Stone. From Chicago, stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
Joe Angel, Jim Hunter back in Chicago. Orioles again. Again, they got bullied tonight. And this time it was by the last place Chicago White Sox in the AL Central. Chicago wins it by a score of 10-7, but really it wasn't that close. And they were leading 10-2 all the way until the top of the eighth inning. And really for the Orioles, just too many double play balls against Mike Pelfrey, the veteran right-hander. They got a leadoff walk by Smith in the first inning, but then Adam Jones bounced into a double play. In the second inning, with one out, a walk to Scope, and then Mancini an infield single, but then Castillo bounced into a double play. Then in the bottom of the second inning, against Wade Miley, with two outs and no one on, Miley made a mistake. He walked the number 7 hitter, a 220 hitter, Willie Garcia. So he was on base for Smith, the catcher. He came up a 200 hitter, and Miley made another mistake. Pretty well hit. Adam Jones, way back there, gone. Back about 8 rows in the seats in right center. So Smith, his first home run. And it's a 2-0 Chicago lead. Well, you walk the 7 hitter and then make a bad pitch against the 8 hitter. And the Orioles are down again early. Yep, Getty Smith, his first Major League home run. Then in the third, again, the leadoff hitter getting on base. J.J. a single, and then Smith got a base on balls. But then Adam Jones again came up to hit.
And the 2-2 pitch, Adam swings. It's a ground ball to third, backhanded by Frazier. He steps in the back, throws across the first just in time to get Adam Jones. He thought about throwing to second base, but then he saw that Sanchez wasn't there yet and Smith was about to slide in. So that is a 5-3 double play. Hardy is erased and out at second base is Smith.
Yep. And
so Adam is 0-2 in this game. He has bounced into 2 double plays.
Indeed. At that point, 3 innings, 3 double play balls hit into by the Orioles. After that, Machado got a walk and there was a stolen base. Trumbo got a walk And so Chris Davis came up to hit with the bases loaded.
The runners go, and the payoff pitch is swung on and lifted to deep right center field. Back goes Garcia, and he makes the catch on the warning track. Davis just missed. He got a pitch to drive. He did. But the ballpark holds it. So the Orioles miss a big, big chance. They had a base hit and three walks, and they'll leave the bases loaded.
And it was on that play that Chris Davis suffered an oblique injury, had to leave the game. And we have not heard as to his latest condition, but oblique injuries, generally, you're going to wind up on the disabled list. So Davis had to leave the game. Kim came into play left field, and Mancini went over. It took over at first base. But then in the third, for the White Sox, a big inning. Began a single by Anderson, and then a walk to Melky Cabrera. Abreu then singled and run, and then Avisan Garcia came up to hit.
Miley Diaz, breaking ball swung on and lifted to right center field. Adam Jones, a long run. That ball is off the wall and in play. Scoring from third is Cabrera. Jose Abreu is being sent. The relay throw is missed, and Abreu coming to the plate, and he will score. Adam Jones overthrew Scope, and the ball skipped past Hardy, and that'll be a two-run double for Avi Garcia, and the White Sox have broken it open. It is 5-0 in the third.
And Adam Jones was charged with a throwing error that enabled that second run to come in to score. And then later, Davidson knocked in another run, and so the White Sox had four runs on five hits in that third inning. And then extended the lead in the bottom of the fourth inning. One out, a single by Melky Cabrera, a double by Abreu, and then Avisail Garcia again got it done.
And the pitch is swung on and bounced towards the middle. That gets on through for a base hit. Cabrera scores. Abreu will score. The White Sox get those runs right back. And on his 26th birthday, a 3-RBI night for Avisail Garcia. And the Chicago lead is now 8-2.
Yeah, the Orioles, Smith had knocked in a run with a double in the fourth inning, and then Adam Jones knocked in a run in that fourth inning to at least kind of get back in the game. But then Ubaldo Jimenez gave it right back, and eventually in the fifth inning, Trumbo a leadoff single. But then with Kim up there batting, guess what? Looks at first, he delivers. Kim, ground ball, double play ball to second. Sanchez to Anderson, and then the relay to Abreu, got the double play. Taylor made. 4-6-3. Another Oriole double play ball. So just like that, there are two outs and no one out.
Ouch. Yep,
that's well, Pelfrey got a big double play ball back in the first inning off of Adam Jones. He got another big double play ball in the second inning against Castillo. He got another double play, Adam Jones, in the third. And now another double play in the fifth inning. Yep, you get the theme, right? In the seventh inning, again, the White Sox extended the lead.
Pitch is swung on and lifted to deep left field. Kim is back on it, and that ball's going to go. There's a home run for Matt Davidson. His 11th of the year, and it's 10-2 in favor of Chicago.
Yep, 10-2. Orioles came back, though. At least got back in the game in the eighth inning as they put up a four spot. Trumbo a double to get the inning started, and then Kim an RBI single. Scope a single, so there were two on base for Trey Mancini. Mancini fly ball right field. Backing up is Garcia, backing up, looking behind him. That ball is gone, a home run. It got out. Wait, that bye-bye, Trey Mancini. He hits one with two aboard, a three-run homer, and suddenly it's a 10-6 game. So kind of back in the game, ninth inning against Anthony Swarzak. Manny Machado began the inning with a single, but then Trumbo into a force out, and then Kim fouled out. It brought up Jonathan Scope, and the game ended, well, first it was positive, and then it became negative. Line drive, base hit left center. That's a gapper. That's going to drive in a run. Trumbo is going to score easily. And there goes Scope into second base. The throw there. The tag. They got him. And that's how the game ends. My goodness. Jonathan Scope on a gapper that was cut off. He tried to stretch it into a double and is gunned down at second base. And that's how the game ends. And the Orioles are in the loss column, although, wait a minute, they might take a look at this thing. Well, they did take a look at it for a long time, and even though it looked as though Scope was able to avoid the tag back in New York, they didn't see it that way. Not enough evidence, they said, so they did not change the call, and indeed, that's how the game ended. So the game ended on the RBI single, as it turned out, by Jonathan Scope, but then gunned down at second base, and why Scope was even attempting to get to second base, I have no idea. They were down three runs. It wasn't all that important to get to second base. Jim Hunter in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Jim Hunter back in Chicago where the White Sox win the opener of this four-game series, 10-7 the final. So the Birds have lost five in a row. They are 0-5 on the road trip, and their road losing streak now has reached 10 consecutive games. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments, Gary Thorne is with Buck Showalter.
Skip, just another short start to make it a tougher night for you.
Yep, it's been a challenge for us. I really thought there was a game there offensively to be won. We just keep putting our hitters and our team in a real hole there from the get-go. But a lot of good at-bats, kind of climb back in it, a couple chances there, but we just, you know, all the pitching's been a challenge. We need to get Brad some work. He hadn't pitched in 4 days. You know, you've seen Michael and you've seen Dylan and you've seen Brad. Guys who are pitching well, you make good pitches. These guys don't look like they're so comfortable hitting.
What do you see in Wade with these short outings?
Well, I throw him a little bit of – he had pretty good stuff from starting off well, and, you know, he got ambushed on a fastball from a guy down the bottom order. You can't assume that, but he got hit pretty good there in the side of the knee. May have affected him after that.
Do you think so? Yes or no? I mean, was he hurt? Was there a bruise? Was there anything?
Well, I'm
that
sure he does. We're all
bruised.
Yeah, everything happens. You know, John gets hit in the elbow. Thank goodness he had a pad on. But you know, you work through those things. But you know, Wade's type of guy is not going to use an excuse. He was frustrated. Wanted to keep pitching. But you know, six runs is six runs, regardless of how you get there.
Yeah. Chris Davis, how's he?
Not too good. He's going to have an MRI here locally at 9 a.m. in the morning, and usually that oblique word, you got a good idea what that usually means, but. Tough, but we got Manny back, and he looked healthy and felt good, and we'll take that positive.
Was Chris on the at-bat? Did he hurt it in the at-bat?
No, I think it was on the swing, I think. I'm not sure. I haven't had a chance. He's not in real talkative mood right now, as you can expect.
Yeah. Final out of the ball game. Jonathan maybe stays at first on that?
Of course, yeah. He's also safe, so yeah. It's tough to argue, but John also should have, you know, a lot of people thought he shouldn't try to go first to third. These guys are pressing. They're pushing, and certainly it's not a good fundamental play, but I applaud his effort. John, these guys are very frustrated, and sometimes that happens.
Skip, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Buck Showalter following the game. White Sox win at 10-7.